Some things shouldn't be transparent, like stop signs. But what you pay for should always be clear, like Hiller's True Transparency Pricing, always clearly itemized and never any hidden fees. Because you have the right to know what you're paying for. For more information, visit happyhiller.com/true-transparency-pricing. Happy you'll be, or the service is free.
Call the Happy Face Truck today.
Austin Price is with VolQuest.com. Time for our Friday report from VolQuest.com with Austin here on the Midday 180. Austin, what's up, man? How are you?
I'm doing great, guys. Yourself?
Doing wonderful. Real well, Austin. So Jeremy Pruitt decides on Marquez Callaway, Kyle Phillips, and Eli Wolf as his representatives at SEC Media Days. Why do those three guys make sense as opposed to some other players he could have brought?
Well, I thought Kyle Phillips was the, you know, we talked about this a few weeks ago. To me, he was the lock of everyone. And let's face it, had Trey Smith went in the spring and been, you know, able to go, he would be going too. But because he wasn't able to go in the spring, I think they wanted to protect Trey just because everybody was going to ask him about why he missed spring and yada, yada, yada. And so he's not going. Marquez Callaway makes the most sense because he's got some personality, and you like to have a little bit of personality at that event. And he's not going to say anything outlandish, but he's always going to have a smile on his face. He's a good talker. He conveys a good message. And then I think Eli Wolf, because he was one of the most improved players in the spring, and nobody's going to hate on Eli Wolf. Every one of those teammates over there is happy that Eli Wolf is getting to go. I mean, I think that you always have to walk a fine line when you're talking about who you send to, you know, this or that, and especially with SEC Media Days. You know, you're always looking to see who, you know, will it upset the apple cart with this player if we take this player? And every team has to do that. That's not just a Tennessee thing. That's across the board, because team chemistry can, you know, kind of sway like the wind. And so I think Eli Wolf was the easy pick because everybody loves Eli Wolf and everybody loves the hard worker that he is, and how he's kind of made himself into the player he's become.
Austin, we learned here locally, fans love uniform updates with the Titans.
Yeah.
What's the latest with Tennessee? They're going back to the classic orange stripe on the helmet?
Well, it sure appears that way. You know, they had their little photo shoot earlier in the week, but all of those were the older uniforms. Those still had the, you know, the checkerboard stripe on the pants. Those still had, you know, white cleats. I expect Tennessee to have black cleats this fall. And so I do think that you'll go back to more of that Philip Fulmer look from the late 1990s. And I think that's that's a great retro look to go back to. I mean, it's just kind of traditional. It's clean. And nobody's going to frown upon that whatsoever. So, I expect probably the solid stripe on the helmets and the black cleats come August. But in the short term right now, they're wearing stuff they've got in house and wearing some white. And, you know, they keep those grays around. I don't think necessarily to wear for games, but to let recruits try them on when they come in for visits.
So, Austin, there's a big recruiting weekend coming up right before camp starts for the schools everywhere. Tennessee is in the competition with a lot of the big boys for some of the remaining players that they're after right now. How steep is the competition in terms of getting those players on campus between the likes of Tennessee, Georgia, Clemson, and Alabama with the amount of players they're trying to bring in for that last weekend?
I think it's very, very steep, Chad. And when you look at who all is going to try to take a visit that weekend, you know, Zion Logue from Lebanon looks like he's going to head off to Georgia that weekend. From all accounts, Darnell Wright's going to be at Alabama that weekend. And Tennessee's going to have the Huff kid in from Georgia, going to have Tyus Fields in from Charlotte. And we'll see who else comes in that weekend. You'll have a lot of the current commitments, including Wanya Morris and the tight ends, you know, and Sean Brown and Jackson Lowe. Jackson Lampley will be in that weekend. But we'll see what other uncommitted guys make it in. It's one of those times where the dead period has went a little further this year. And so you really kind of only got one weekend, Chad, before high school teams really crank it up. And in the state of Tennessee, they're already cranked up. But in other states, you know, you've seen, like in West Virginia, I know that their first day of practice is the day after that weekend, that Monday. So Darnell Wright will have to drive back that Sunday from Tuscaloosa all the way to Huntington, West Virginia. It's about a 9-hour drive, and get ready for practice that next day. It's convenient for schools in Georgia and or Florida to say, hey, you know, you got high school practice on Monday. Just make the 2-hour drive to us instead of going, you know, a long ways away. Darnell Wright's much more the, you know, exception. He's not the rule. A lot of those guys are going to choose to stay closer to the house that weekend, just based off the fact that their high school season's starting up and those high school coaches want to keep them as close as can be.
Austin Price from VolQuest.com is our guest. And Austin, I'm going to let you pronounce the last name of Tennessee's 4-star offensive line commit. But you guys had a terrific piece up where you interviewed Matt Lowe, who I know is not coaching at King's Academy anymore, but was his coach when he arrived from Nigeria. And now he's at the IMG Academy, sort of the backdrop of this young man and how he's still developing. Crazy to consider the upside of a player with his physical talent. So what can you tell us about the latest commit for Tennessee?
Well, Chris Okporogene. Trust me.
Excellent work, Austin. Well done. Excellent work.
You nailed it.
Trust me, I have had all kinds of practice.
Say it one more time.
Okporogene. Is that how you say it?
Okporogene, yeah.
I just needed to hear someone say it. So that's very helpful. I had never heard anyone say his name.
I just said Chris A. on VolQuest. That's what I was talking about. But, I mean, you know, I worked hard on that. But he's a great story. And you know, you look at the rankings across the board, whether it be Rivals or other, you know, services, and they're torn on this kid, and I understand that. He's played at the King's Academy. It's a boarding school in Seymour with 180 kids. And now he's at IMG. We'll see how he does this fall. Kid's so strong, and they're really continuing to pick up the game. I think that, you know, he's really just kind of really touching the surface of how good he can be. But it's up to coaches to develop him, and that's coaches at IMG, coaches at Tennessee, to kind of get the best out of him. He wants to be good, and as Matt Lowe told me, you know, 2-3 weeks ago when we were talking about Tennessee or Oregon, he goes, look, he understands Tennessee football, but running through the tee is not what he thinks about with Tennessee football. Flashy uniforms is not what he thinks about when he thinks about Oregon. He thinks about a path to helping his family in Nigeria have a better life. And so that's where he's driven. I mean, that's where the story is really neat compared to most is, you know, he is very mature for his age. He's a grinder. And from the moment that he stepped foot in Neyland Stadium in 2016 for that Florida game, he's kind of had the bug to play college football. And it just so happens that he ends up at Tennessee and ends up a part of this class. But make no mistake, Jeremy Pruitt, after he watched him camp with his own two eyes, put on the full court press, and that's when Tennessee went from, you know, being behind with Chris Okporogene to all the way to being on top and landing his commitment.
Austin Price is with us. Austin, are there players on this roster that spent some time with strength coach Craig Fitzgerald when they didn't necessarily have to go do it? Like, did they volunteer on their own time? Who has stood out to Fitzgerald to this point?
Well, there's a lot of guys that have worked hard with Coach Fitzgerald this summer, and you know, a lot of guys that have bought into what he's selling, and you see that a lot of times. We made that joke on this show before about the strength and conditioning program, but there are different guys across the board. There have been a couple of receivers that have continued to put in work. You know, I think Juwan Jennings continues to be a leader, and that goes all the way to the weight room, the offensive line. You know, a guy like, you know, Jerome Carvin, who broke his foot a couple of months ago, you know, really needed this summer to be good. And he worked extra hard with the training staff when he wasn't able to go with Coach Fitzgerald and is, you know, still trimmed down. He's a little over 300 pounds right now. Probably in the best shape he's been in quite some time because he knows he's got a shot to play this year. But, you know, across the board, the defensive linemen, the offensive linemen have been really buying into what Coach Fitzgerald has had to, you know, say in kind of his path. And I think they just kind of gravitate towards him because he is a kind of a military discipline type guy. But when they do what he wants, he's like big brother. He loves them up. And I think that's where the buy-in comes from.
We had this discussion earlier this week, Austin, on Tennessee recruiting and how they currently have one of the top 14 players in state committed. And it's a legacy in Jackson Lampley. We had this after they missed out on Kane Patterson, who committed to Ohio State. I guess my question for you is, when you look at this class with Jeremy Pruitt, is he really that interested in a lot of these guys, even if they are just the top guys in the state?
You know, there are players that pique his interest. I do believe that. And, you know, he wanted some of them to come over to camp. Those players chose not to come camp. And, you know, if you're Jeremy Pruitt and company and you kind of, you know, I won't say put your foot down, but at the same time, you know, say, okay, I want to see in person, you know, and then that person doesn't come. It's like me telling my 3-year-old, you can't have chocolate milk after 8 o'clock. And then one day caving at 8:30. Well, then the next day she's going to think I'll cave again. So, I mean, I think you're trying to establish the way you want to do things. And so, you know, for that case, you know, look, man, at the end of the day, when you look across the board, you know, Lance Wilhoit's going to Oregon. That's a great school. Woody Washington's going to Oklahoma. That's a great school. So, you know, these kids have gotten great opportunities ahead of them. And so, you know, does he want, you know, every player in the state? No, but I mean, neither did Derek Dooley or Butch Jones or Philip Fulmer for that matter. You want to find the ones you like and go hard after them. You've seen Zion Logue come out in the last 40 minutes and tweet out that he's going to actually make his announcement. What was going to be September 6th, I think on his grandmother's birthday, is now moved up to 2 days from now, July 15th. And so he's going to pull the trigger 2 days from now. And that's Tennessee, Georgia, or Alabama, one of those three. And, you know, Kane Patterson's off to Ohio State. You got other players Tennessee's at least in solid shape with, like a Christian Williams at Southwind out in Memphis. You know, Walt Wells did a great job of kind of laying the framework and foundation for Christian's, I guess, you know, fondness for Tennessee last year. But now this staff's going to have to pick up on that and carry it to the finish line, and LSU's a factor for him. So there are a lot of players in the state that have got a lot of different options. There are players in the mid-state that did not grow up in the mid-state. And frankly, this set of kids, they've not seen Tennessee be good. And so when you factor all that in, you're selling 4-8. Tennessee's not been good in a decade outside of, you know, a small run by Butch. You know, it's a tougher sale for in-state kids than, you know, what Alabama's, you know, going through down at Alabama. I mean, what they can slow play a kid, and then 2 days before signing, they go, hey, we want you. And they're a kid like, okay, you know, it don't work that way here.
Well, and that's sort of my follow-up question to this. You could take that approach at Alabama when you were the big boy and so many people wanted to go play for you. Is this the right approach for Jeremy Pruitt in Tennessee? And I'll give you an example. We're at the coach forum this past week, and I run into a renowned high school coach locally. I'm not going to out the coach, but he's got two guys who are big-time prospects, one of which is already committed, one who's going to commit to a big-time program. And he was telling me that approach is difficult on the kid, because there are a lot of kids who are offered by so many programs. And he said, we have weight conditioning plans for the summer. If they went to every camp they were invited to, first off, they wouldn't be able to time-wise, and then they would get out of shape eventually if they didn't go and do everything. And then they're leaving their team. You know, we have activities here also. So it's difficult to put that on a kid and say, you have to be at our camp for us to offer you. And if you don't, then we're not going to offer you. Is that a fair response from a high school coach out there?
I think it's a fair response from a high school coach, but I also think you got to look at it as kind of the other rebuttal there is, you know, well, player X, Y, or Z went and camped at, you know, program X, Y, or Z, but they're unwilling to camp here. And so I think Jeremy Pruitt, again, it goes back to what I said that you all liked on BallQuest. Jeremy Pruitt's not treating Tennessee as if it's 4-8. He's treating Tennessee as if it's Tennessee. And so, in my mind, you know, if, you know, two or three of these players decide they're going to camp at these big-time programs and you want them to come camp at your place, and then they kind of look at you like you've, you know, said something in a foreign language, then I guess I don't understand the disconnect there. You know, if you're willing to camp at Alabama or Georgia or wherever, then why would you not be willing to camp at your home state institution? You know, I guess that's the rebuttal back, not to the high school coach, but just to that line of thinking of, you know, I can't.
No, that's fair. Camp. And that's fair also.
Austin, you know, going back to the previous article at VolQuest about treating Tennessee like Tennessee, not 4-8, we had a big topic about this, but he almost has to have that approach because the current commitment list won't, am I right in thinking that not all of them are sticking around if this is a Tennessee program that's 4-8 again?
I mean, I do think that's right. I mean, you know, if Tennessee does not show improvement, then I think it's going to be hard to hold on to Wanya Morris. You know, you've done a nice job of putting yourself in position with a lot of these players, Darnell Wright, Quavarius Crouch. Obviously, you've got a couple of commits that are really, really good. But if you don't come out and show improvement on the field, and you know, the common thing on our side is, well, what's improvement? I mean, technically 5-7 is improvement. Well, no. I mean, you've got to show more than just, you know, a game. You've got to get to a bowl game. You've got to be competitive. I think if you can have the Lane Kiffin type year and go 7-5, and in the five games you lose, you're extremely competitive in, and you don't get run by anybody, or even if you just get run by one team, like Alabama's Alabama. Point is, you've got to show you're now competitive and you can get to a bowl game. And that's a huge step from 4-8. And if that happens, then Tennessee's got a chance to hold on to Wanya Morris, has a chance to land Darnell Wright or Quavarius Crouch, and then bring in some other nice players to add and finalize this class. But at the end of the day, you've got to show actual improvement. Winning one more game, I mean, Tennessee was a hair from beating South Carolina last year. If Butch runs it from the one, they probably beat Florida. I mean, you know what I'm saying? I mean, they weren't that far off last year from winning six games, but they were also miles away at the same time.
Follow him on Twitter, at Austin Priceless, VolQuest.com, the website. Austin, thank you, and we will catch up with you on Monday.
Thank you, guys.
Austin Price, twice a week with us, right here on the Midday 180.